the Lord. All right, Matthew chapter number 12. And how about Matthew 14? That's where I was at in Sunday school. Let me get where I'm supposed to be at right now. Matthew chapter 14. My dad is homesick. Several folks are home today, and they're watching by way of internet. Miss Tenny Stewart. But y'all to be praying for her. She's on life support and up at Dyersburg, and is at this time, I think they're trying to get her over to Jackson. But I got a text a little bit ago, and it was last night, and she can't talk, but she can write. And she said, bring the laptop up here so we can watch service in the morning. I want a ventilator now and wants to watch service. So I appreciate that. Matthew chapter 14. I want you to look at verse 22. Now, I really don't know. I don't have much structure to this. I don't even know how it's going to go, but I'll tell you. Preach to you what the Lord's laid on our heart for today. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us now this morning. God, a good number of people here, all them children here this morning. What a joy it is to see, Lord, the visitors, many visitors here with us this morning for whatever reason. God, I thank you for them being here. I thank you for our home folks being here. Lord, I thank you for those that are watching by way of the internet and giving us that kind of technology to use it in a right way. But Lord, I pray the next few minutes, Lord, that we would give you our undivided attention. Lord, we would ask you to speak to our hearts. Start with me. Walk all the way through these seats, these aisles. Lord, talk to every heart. Lord, help us to be attentive and listening. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Here in Matthew 5, chapter 14 and verse number 22, we see a very familiar story. You've heard the story about Jesus walking on the water, Peter walking on the water. But what had happened before that was he fed the 5,000. And that's just the 5,000 men. That's not including the women and the children. And then Jesus says, all right, I'm going to send the multitudes away. You disciples, get into that ship. Go to the other side. And that's what he told them. And so Jesus sends the multitudes away. He goes up into a high mountain to pray. And then the disciples are in the midst of the sea. Another gospel, this story is found in three of the gospels. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or John, excuse me. And they're in the midst of the sea. And Jesus comes down and appears unto them in the fourth watch of the night. That's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. The fourth watch of the night. Jesus came to them walking on the sea. But let me draw a spiritual application about this if I can. I want you to think about this. Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he broke that bread, and he handed it out, and he passed it out to over 5,000 people. That's what Jesus Christ did on the cross of the Calvary. He was broken. That bread was broken for you and for me. And it's fed a whole bunch of people, more than 5,000. After he dies on the cross, he feeds those people, us that are saved. He's fed us. He ascended into heaven. And before he ascended into heaven, he said, all you people here at Holy Hills Baptist Church, I want y'all to get into a ship. I want you to go to the other side. I'm going to go and ascend into my Father. Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing up there? He's praying for you and for me while we're going through the storms of life. We're in the middle of the ship. Jesus said, hey, you people, saved people, get into that ship, go to the other side. He didn't tell us there was going to be a storm. He didn't say it was going to be a bed of roses. He didn't say there was a storm coming. He didn't say we're going to think we're about to die. He didn't think you're going to think the water's coming in the boat and you're going to sink. He didn't say anything about that. He just said, get in the boat, go to the other side while I go up there and pray. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ is right now. He's interceding for me and for you. Just because you got saved does not mean there's not going to be any storms. If you're a human being, you are a card-carrying member of the human race. And being a card-carrying member of the human race, storms will come. The great theologian Forrest Gump said this. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get till you bite into one. And some of us are walking through this life and we're saved. We're on our way to heaven. And all we know is that Jesus told us to get into a ship, go to the other side. And let me say this. If Jesus told us to get in the ship, go to the other side, I guarantee you, if he told us to go to the other side, he meant for us to go to the other side. And no matter how bad the storm gets, we're not going to die until we get to the other side. That's just plain and simple. And Jesus is up a mountain part to pray. There he is, interceding, our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But I want you to notice this. Jesus comes to them. Storm's coming in. I mean, not only is the storm beating on the outside of them, one of the gospels says the storm's done got in the boat with them. Not only can God get rid of the storm, get you out of the storm, but he also has the power to get the storm out of you.
Right.
Peter wanted to walk on the water. Peter wanted to walk on the water. And we can talk about Peter all morning. And you can say what you want to about Peter, but Peter had one of those diseases, open mouth, insert foot. How many of you got? No, never mind. Please don't look to your right or your left, please. But Peter had that. And Peter, first one, raise his hand. Lord, I want to walk out there too with you. I want to come to where you are. Now let me say, before he did, Jesus comes to them walking on the sea. And this is what he said. He said, don't be afraid. It is I. Now, I don't have time to preach this sermon. This is another sermon within itself. I'm trying to get to where I want to go. But the eye of the storm is the center of the storm. The eye of the storm controls the storm. And the eye of the storm calms the storm. They do research and they do studies and they look at these storms and those airplanes go up above the storm and they look down into the eye where it's real calm. Everything's calm in the very center of the eye of the storm. That eye. They want to know where the storm is going, where it's headed. They study the eye.
They want to know when it's going to dissipate. They'll study the eye of the storm. Let me tell you this. Jesus said, here am I, be not afraid. He's the eye of the storm. He's the one that controls the storm. He's the one that calms the storm. He's the center of the storm. He'll be with you in the storm. He'll meet you while you're in the storm. He'll be on the other side of the storm when you get out of the storm, getting ready to go another storm. He's already there ready for you. He's the eye of the storm. But Peter says this, I want to come out there, walk on the water. Jesus says, this is what it means in the Greek. Come on, big boy. Help yourself. We're not talking about a sea of glass, everything. We're talking about storm, waves, everything. You know, you say what you want to about Peter. At least he had guts enough to get out of the boat. At least he had guts enough to get out of the boat. And so this is what he does. He gets out on the boat and starts walking. Walking toward the Lord. It doesn't tell us what the distance was. Don't tell us how far it was. But it does say he begins to walk toward the Lord. And he got afraid of what was around him. And he took his eyes off the eye. The I am. We preached on that for four Sundays. Don't get us started on that again. But he's the eye, and he took his eyes off the eye, and he began to what? I don't know about y'all, but let me look at something in between the verses there. Sometimes I get in trouble. The people say, well, that ain't there. Well, just let me think for a minute. If you take your eyes off Jesus and you stop walking on the water, you just, it's not like an elevator. You just start.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's not like the elevator where he's walking on top of the water and all of a sudden somebody hits the down button and the elevator starts going like this.
Right.
If that would have been the case, Peter would have wised up pretty quick and said, oh, let me look at the Lord. And the elevator starts going back up. That ain't what it said.
Amen.
It says he took his eye off the Lord. And I'm going to be honest. He starts drowning.
Right.
I mean, if you take the whole bottom, if the Lord's got his hand under the water holding him up, y'all with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
It don't say that either, but I guarantee you that's probably what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus had his hand under the water, and Peter was walking in the hand of the Lord.
Right.
On top of the water, Peter took his eyes off the Lord. The Lord went. And it wasn't an elevator effect. It was. I mean, just like that. Now, here's the message. Real serious. Peter was drowning. In arm's length of the master of the sea. There's a lot of people in here right now drowning. And they're drowning in the house of God. They're drowning in a place, and they are in arm's length of the master of the sea. They've taken their eyes off the Lord, and they are sinking, and it's getting to where it's uncontrollable. They don't know what to do anymore, and they're sinking. They're going down for the last time. They're bobbing up and down, gasping for breath. Maybe that's none of you. Maybe that's none of you, but somebody we know is like that. I remember reading the story of a captain of a ship, one of those cruise ships, and the captain was there, and they in those ships, they pull over, and they let everybody swim and all of that kind of thing, and all of a sudden, the captain looks at what they're trained to do, and he looks, and there were some people out there swimming. All of a sudden, the captain jumps into the water and starts swimming toward this couple, and this couple's looking like, well, he must think we're drowning. And the captain swims right past them two people. And 10 foot on the other side of that mom and dad was their little girl going down for the last time. And the mom and dad, they rescued that little girl and brought that little girl up to the mom and dad. And the mom and dad said, "Captain, what could you see from so far away that we couldn't see 10 foot behind us?" Folks, there's people in here. Listen to me. I told you, I don't know how this sermon's going to go. I'm just telling you what the Lord told me to preach this morning. I'm telling you, there may be somebody drowning in here, and they're just 10 foot away from us, and we don't have a clue.
Right. Right.
Only to the trained eye can they see where people are drowning. The second leading killer of 15-year-old young people and younger is drowning. Number one is car wrecks. Number two is drowning. Drowning, they say, is a silent killer. Most die within 25 feet of both parents. Most never know anything was wrong. You say, "Well, I know on TV that they you hear them there. They're hollering for help." And no. They call it aquatic distress. When they get into that place, when they're going down and bobbing up and going down and bobbing up, when they get up to the surface, their natural reflex is to get up to that surface and get another breath of air before they go down. They don't have time to holler. They don't have time to wave. There's people drowning, and they can't holler for help. Bobbing up and down, trying to get their last breath. You can drown in a safe place. You can drown in a good Christian home. You say, "Oh, I've been raised in church all my life. Oh, I'm telling you what, I dress right. I comb my hair right. I don't smoke. I don't chew. I don't dress with, or run with those that do." And I'm telling you what, you can drown in the best Christian home in Dyersburg, Tennessee. You can drown in a safe place. You can drown at Holy Hills Baptist Church. I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritually. Go under where the devil has got you. And most of it is at arm's length. The master of the sea. 20% of kids drown in public pools with certified lifeguards. Sounds like a lot of our churches today. There's a lot of certified lifeguards in here. Certified spiritual lifeguards. And sometimes they'll drown right up under our nose. And we never know what's going on. Are we on the right track? Am I the only one that sometimes it feels like, "Peter, I want to walk on the water," and you get your eyes off the Lord? I'm not talking about, yes, people get tied up in dope and get tied up in alcohol and get tied up in some of those other things. Yes, they're drowning, but I'm talking about them too. But listen, I'm talking about just regular church folks. Sometimes we can be drowning, and it don't have to be dope, don't have to be alcohol. It can be just depressing. It can be financial. It can be any multitude of things that we're drowning under, bobbing up and down, getting from Sunday to Sunday, trying to get us the next breath. We get down here to church, we get enough breath. We go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We come to church, get another breath before you go down, and you're just about to go down for the last time. They say when you spot a drowning victim, you have 20 to 60 seconds to get to them and save them. Now listen to this. Here's some statistics. I looked it up. I looked them up. The highest drowning rate. You ready? Highest drowning rate. Children under 5 and 15 to 25. You with me? Children under 5 and children 15 to 25. You with me? That's babes in Christ. And teenagers. You too. There may be some teenagers listening to me right now. I know this ain't some glory of shouting all, pulling the chandeliers down kind of message. Come back next Sunday, maybe we'll do one then. The Lord just impressed me. There's people, young people. Young people in our youth department could be drowning.
facing stuff at school we don't know anything about. Going down. I'm supposed to be a certified lifeguard, and I'm trying to holler, say, hey, do you need some help this morning? Children under 5, that's babes in Christ, 15 to 25. That's young people, teenagers. Some are drowning in arm's length of the master of the sea. You say, do you have an outline to this message? Well, somewhat. Number one, there was a problem that was urgent. A problem that was urgent. You ever been, y'all ever do this? We do this at youth camp sometimes. Sometimes it gets a little rough. You get in that pool over there, and the boys swim with boys, girls swim with girls, and all that kind of stuff. But them boys get in there, and them boys get in there, and they'll start wrestling. I don't like wrestling in water. I mean, you know, I don't mind a good fight, but you get in water, that brings the odds down a little bit. You ever been wrestling? They hold you under, they get you under, and boy, you're wrestling, you're trying to get up, and it's not an urgent matter to the person who's got you held under. It's an urgent matter to the one that's going under. Here's a problem that was urgent. You say, oh, I'll be all right. No, no, no. It's a very serious matter. This morning at Holy Hills Baptist Church, very serious. People are drowning within arm's length of the master of the sea. Problem that is urgent. But number two, the proximity was underestimated. The proximity was underestimated. It's right there, very close. It was underestimated. I remember one time, and I don't know if Kayla's in here or not, but I was pastoring Atwood, Tennessee, and we went to a friend's place there, and they had a pool, and they just said, you all just come over every time, and it was just our family there, okay? And so we were there, and they're swimming and all that stuff. Kayla was about two. We tell the kids are hard-headed. You tell them, you say, keep your floaties on, put your floaties on. I don't want my floaties. I can do it myself. Sound like a bunch of church people, but anyway, put your floaties on. Put your floaties on. No, I ain't good. I'll just sit right here on the steps. I won't go. I'll just sit right here on these steps. Of course, Trace said, all right, if you sit, you know, they give in. If you'll sit right there, don't you move. If you're going to not have your floaties on, you just sit right there. So we're out there having a big time. And I was just sitting. I was right there. I mean, I was right there very close, within arm's length. I turned around for a few minutes. I looked around. She done got up off that step. And now she's under. Yeah, I panic. I'm grabbing and jerking. Because the proximity was underestimated. I thought there was a whole lot closer to what they were, and the problem, it was very urgent. And some of you this morning looking at me going, why is he preaching this? We don't need this kind of sermon. They need that somewhere else. They need that down at the dope house and the alcohol and people that are really drowning in something. No, friend, we're talking about church people that are drowning, and the devil's got them, and they're taking them down for the last time. Proximity was underestimated. There was people who were unaware. You ever notice this? Nobody in that boat jumped out to help Peter. You ever look at that? Nobody in the boat. Yep, they're like. He was a good old soul, wasn't he? Bless his heart. It makes everything all right if you just say bless his heart after that. Bless her heart. Going down. Nobody. It don't say nobody. Jumps out to help him. The people that were unaware. But then let me get down to this. The last point. There was a person there who understood. There was one person there that understood. Now, Peter said this, Lord, the God of heaven, the God of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, Lord, the God that created the stars in the heavens and put the Milky Way on dress display,
Lord, I just want to pray for you, to pray to you right now. And we thank you, Lord, for all the missionaries overseas. And Lord, no, friend. He prayed a three-word prayer. You say, I don't know how to pray. You can say three words, can't you? You don't have to pray. You don't have to pray all them. You don't have to go have a college education to pray. You don't have to go to a Bible college to learn how to pray. God understands Tennessee, West Tennessee, backwoods talk. Peter said this, Lord, help me, or save me, whatever he said, save me. There was a person there that understood. He reached down, got Peter, put him back in the boat, and guess what? The eye of the storm said to the storm, y'all get somewhere to sit down. And the storm ceased. You say, why'd they do that? Because he was the very one that created them. He was the one that put the wind out there. He was the one that put the thunder out there. He was the one that put the ocean out there. And when he speaks, they listen because he's the one that created them. And when he says, lay down and be still, they lay down and be still. Some of you, right now, going down for the last time. We sing a song around here a lot of times. It goes something like this. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master. Y'all don't make me sing by myself. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. That's what lifts you. Love lifted. Some of you in this room may be going down for the last time. Going down for the last time. And you need help. Some of you young people, listen to me. Some of the statistics, I know that was physical drowning. I understand all that. I'm talking about spiritually going down. And some of you this morning, if you're at this church right this morning, I know the Lord's at other churches. I'm saying this. If you're at this church this morning, you're in arm's length of the Master of the sea. I'm telling you, the Lord knows what storm you're going through. Maybe you're sinking. Maybe you say, hey, preacher, what I need to do? I'll just tell you what Peter did. Lord, save me.
Amen.
Say, preacher, I'm already saved. Okay, I understand that. Okay. Lord, help me. Lord, help my family. Lord, help my church. Lord, help my young people. Lord, help my teenager. Go ahead. If you need to come to the altar, this will be a good time to do it. Do you remember when you were drowning in a sea of sin, going down for the last time, when you called on His name? He reached out His nail-pierced hand and He lifted you out. So remember where you were back then and thank Him for
for where you are right now. Give him the glory for what he's done in your heart. He took you from sin and strife and gave a new start. He took your broken life and he made you complete. So take off those crowns of glory, cast them at the Savior's feet. You remember when? Do you remember when you were drowning in a sea of sin, going down for the last time, when you called on his name? He reached out his nail-pierced hand and he lifted you out. So this is what we need to do this morning. Remember where you were back then and thank him for where you are right now. And if you're in this room, you just may need to say, Lord, help me. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. I know several have already come. Mark, just continue to play that, and we may sing, I don't know. You're saved? Feel like you're drowning and bobbing up and down? Don't know where you're going to get your next breath spiritually? Maybe you just need to cry out to God today and say, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Peter was drowning. The only thing that was there was a person there that understood what Peter was going through, understood everything he was going through, and he reached down at his request, picked him up. Psalm says he brought me up out of a horrible pit, set my feet on a solid rock, established my goings, put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Let's sing this all.